Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Look into my eyes. What do you see? It is the cult of personality. Ah, Living Color is a vibe, man. It is an absolute vibe. Thank you for hanging out with me. You know, one-on-one is its own vibe. I'm kind of thrilled because this weekend I'm going to Tampa tomorrow morning for UFC, then I'm going to head to D.C., and I'm going to get to hang out with this gentleman on Sunday. We figured out a thing. We'll talk about that in the course of the hour. 402-464-5685 is the Sartor Heyman text line. You want to be part of what we're doing? Come on in. Come on in. Hang out a bit. Hit us with a what's up, and let's have a little conversation. Lots to talk about. Lots to clear with our guests. And then if you want to follow on the live video streams, please do. Facebook, YouTube, X, and Allo, channel 961. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, it is, in fact, Wednesday, 6 o'clock Central Time. And we set the standard. We all take a deep breath. We all go back in time to when things were simple. The great voice.
The autumn wind is a pirate. Yeah. Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
There are so many good things in that. There are phrases and words that we do not use. Quiver and quake. Like we don't get enough cymbal, we don't get enough concert bass drum to like we don't get enough of any of those, and we don't get enough Barry Thompson. Let's bring it to Coach.
You know, it's a silence that he uses in those pieces, right? A lot of times, right, when you
and
learning how to, yeah, that silence is something,
right, that we say we say that all the time, that sometimes silence speaks louder
Yeah.
than the nonsense that can fill it.
good storytellers know how to stand on silence. You know, they don't panic when there's no sound. They kind of know, and they keep you in that bridge for a while, and then they take you to the next thing. You know, it's a kind of, you know, you can kind of do it just when you're talking a little bit, just pause a little bit and you're wondering what's coming next. And he delivers bomb after bomb.
Well, it's the great identifier for the best conversations, for the best cinema, the best music, all is in the space, in the pause, in the cause, all those things. Rhythm matters.
Yep.
Spacing in every sport matters, yep. Right? You don't have to bunch a whole bunch of things in. Let's simplify communication between coach and player, right? Let's simplify it.
Simplify.
Allow it to breathe. Bury. Get out. Yeah. Don't rush.
Yep. Nope.
What John would say, be quick, don't rush.
Be quick, but don't hurry. Be quick, but don't hurry, right? And Walton said, I still don't know what that means, but it's an apt phrase. It's an apt phrase that I've used it a lot. I've always said, and I've said this to you, there's a lot of certifications out there for coaches when you have to coach at the high school and the youth level. All of them are basically around safety, which they should be. But, man, the big certification all those coaches should have to take, I think, is a John Wooden certification. You know, just on his homilies, the different things that he said, they're so poignant when it comes to just dealing with individuals. You know, Coach K, I don't know him mm-hmm. like that. Coach mm-hmm. K, there's a quote that said, he said a lot of people make a big mistake of immersing themselves in X's and O's more than they do in understanding people. And, you know, among all of this stuff, there's still humans at the end of the process, and it's humans that make it work. And it's the simplest kind of things that make humans tick. It's that hierarchy, that pyramid that most people took psych 101, right? It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's hierarchy mm-hmm. of needs, you know, belongingness and all that stuff is at the bottom. And then, you know, self-awareness and all the stuff at the top, whatever that is. When you're dealing with a group of people, you really can't get far away from those things. They really, really, truly matter.
There's simplicity in sports, and we've gotten, because of media and the internet and the kind of engagement that happens, that one, everybody feels like they know everything. They feel like they've heard everything. They feel like they need to repeat what they've heard. And mm-hmm. the reality, they're simple. We forget the humane part of it.
Right.
The fact that you can take somebody that knows the X's and O's of football, put them in the wrong situation and circumstance, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult for them to succeed.
Absolutely.
You can take somebody who quite frankly, walked into a situation that has all the pieces, all the recipes for right. a great, great full course meal. Yeah. And they will screw it up because of the timing and they don't understand the nuance behind it. And Barry, I say that to say this. Today's news is interesting in the sense that I think simplicity is the best way to look at sports. Barry's been in a room, and I've said this with young people learning to play at a higher level, that when chaos happens, slow down.
Yep.
And chaos ceases to exist.
And I'm sorry, you're making a great point, but you know how, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is a great point. Talk about it. It reminds me of a great story I had with my daughter one time. Talk about this. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story. She was coming home and she was, you know, okay and stuff. And I said, what's going on? And asked her about things. And we're talking. And she says, yeah, but there's this girl at recess that chases me. And I said, what is she? I said, she always chase you? She says, yes, she chases me and I don't like it. And so I went through the normal process of doing it. And I, you know, talking to her about this and that. And she said, no, no, no. And I said, okay, well, the next time she chases you, just stop running. she goes, but she'll catch me. I said, but just stop running. Just stop. And so she came home the next day. She was a little happier. So what happened? She said, Dad, I did what you told me, and she didn't chase me.
the chasing stops.
So I'm sorry to interrupt your point, but I just had that story. You're right.
Nobody, it, It is that thing, right, Barry, that we go through sports cycles so quickly now because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I mean, every single person who listens to this station feels like they have a higher degree of knowledge and intel on everything that happens in sports.
That's your fault because you got a lot of smart people talking sports, so they're listening.
Well, but it's a high volume, high repetition right. of information.
Right.
But the reality is, even the people in the with the microphone and in the room
mm-hmm.
have bit and partial information.
Right.
That if you ask most football fans about Bill Belichick,
right,
they will have an in full opinion about who he is, why he's successful, what he's doing with his life, and why he would make this decision of right. going to North Carolina. If you ask Tar Heel fans 3 days ago about their football program, they would have pouted and pooed and just absolutely made them and without full knowledge of, wait a minute, you have the resources, history, and location
right.
to attract this generation's greatest football coach.
Right.
And now both of them have to reassess everything they thought they knew because it wasn't true.
Well, let's talk about the simple. The simple reason he's there is because Atlanta Falcons, that negotiation fell apart. So it's real simple. He wanted to coach, and the Atlanta thing didn't work out. And who approached whom? And you've got the landscape of college football that, you know, people were, you know, criticizing Dion, excuse me, Coach Prime. And he kept saying, this is an NFL. He kept running it, you know, getting people out. He was the guy out front saying it. And now everybody else is repeating it. So why wouldn't? And now there's sometimes when people speak, you don't listen to them fully. I heard Belichick speak, what was it on the, I'm just getting plugged into the sports radio thing, but the guy has a real pop, a former kicker. And he kind of looked at, yes, I'm sorry, I'm not educated, but he said in that show, he used the word education. He said it's an NFL level program, but at the college level, and he called it an education. And when you listen to things like that, you know, he's not a guy who's reckless with words. And he goes on to say the time management, and he goes to list the other things. I think there's a couple things that you can see in college sports. One is make it a degree. Because the answer to all this chaos is who can create an environment where players want to stay? Who can do that? Because it's not money. You know, was it the Soto signing? What was it, $700 and some million? And the story was that the Yankees lost out on him by $5 million. I mean, you believe that? Mm-hmm. That there's something that he could need a $5 million more that he could do in his life? You know, it wasn't the money. It was something else. And so with this chaos that seems to be going on, the opportunity first is going to create opportunities for coaches who can get it right, who understand it's about people and doing that stuff. And the second thing, the big opportunity is going to be for coaches and institutions who can figure out, yeah, we're doing this. Yeah, we're offering this, but you'll want to stay here because it's better than any place else. You're going to get more out of bang for your buck here than you will anywhere else. That's the proposition, right? And the odd thing that's going to bring it back, the easiest thing to bring it back to that is actually education. These schools have been resisting making football and the things that are involved in the high-level sports have been resisting making it a degree. And you look at the NFL industry is like a $40 billion industry. I don't know what the NBA, they're talking about starting merging with FIBA and going international. Those industries, when you're in the billions of dollars, they need every white-collar profession in the world to run that industry. And here you have a highly motivated population of people who are highly interested in the industry. And everybody knows that of the percentage that comes there, only 3% are going to make it. 97% aren't. So what are you doing for the 97% that would make them want to stay and go through the 3 years or the 4 years with you? That's what's going to be the game changer. And well, go ahead.
So let's unravel. Remember, we're going to slow down when chaos happens, because if you download a lot of information, you cannot consume all of that information in the space. So let's go back to the beginning of it. No, you rewind it to go back to the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, if you hear Belichick make the conversation that he wants to coach, to say that the Atlanta Falcons were the only place that he considered coaching wouldn't be a statement of truth.
Mm-hmm.
It leads you to, if you want to find out the real truth, go back a step further, that he wanted to coach. And remember that he actually flew in and had dinner with the Commanders. He had several conversations with the Ravens. He had several conversations around the NFL. He had several conversations with colleges. So he wanted to coach. Then you have to ask, but wait, you didn't want to coach with the Patriots, or did you?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you get from coaching? What does Bill Belichick, again, it is a very short roll call.
Right.
For the people who could be in that room having that conversation. Then what does he get from it? What does he want to get from it?
Well, and
of all the universities
right.
to choose to consider breaking your peace and silence, he chose the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Right.
Which, and,
go ahead.
By most immediate metrics, doesn't meet anything that we can put a quantifiable level of interest in.
Well, okay, let's back it up a little bit further.
There we go.
Okay, so let's go back. We know that Bill Belichick, after Cleveland, and even at Cleveland to some extent in a different way, but certainly after Cleveland, was very specific about where he was going to coach. He signed a contract with the Jets, correct, to coach there, and then backed out of it and then chose to coach at New England. And it was the right decision. So what we do, his history kind of indicates that whatever he wants out of it, it's in North Carolina, and it wasn't in the other places. And so we could guess as to what that is, but I would guess at 72, there's something that he's going to pick a place that he doesn't have to put up with things that he doesn't think he has to put up with. He's 72.
And he has history with North Carolina.
Right. Okay. And then that he wants an environment that he's free to do what he wants to do his way. So whatever those other situations were offering, we know that North Carolina offered the most of that. We know that he likes the education rigor, the naval background. Carolina has an academic tradition as well as a sports excellence tradition. So we could speculate, but we do know that he's particular about where he lands. And we do know that when he does land recently, he has the environment to, he has the conditions to, he has the things that he needs that he thinks to, that he needs to be successful. He which just is wasn't. What? Well, I think he's got to have control. And I think he's got to be able to shape this program exactly the way that he wants it. I'm sure they had a long discussion about, the staff budget and who he would bring in, who would report to whom. I'm sure that was a discussion. Because when you get into these colleges, you have the presidents at the top who are going to kind of sign off on contracts in most cases. You have the board of trustees that are kind of, watching the money. And then you have the donors that are involved. And then there's the coach. Right. And the coach has to run this kind of track meet between keeping the trustees on his side, taking the donors' money. But when you take the donors' money, that usually there's a quid pro quo, right? The donors are going to give you some money, but then the donor wants to have a say. So there's a tangled web that you have to run on these college campuses to be a college coach. And I'm sure what he negotiated, I'm positive, is kind of a straight through line on how all that was going to be handled, much like at Stanford. I took note of that situation, that they put Andrew Luck in charge of it, and all the football stuff reports directly to him. Now, whether he's the guy to do it or not, it kind of streamlines the process. It lets you know who's in charge, and then Andrew can deal with the donors and the people up above, but the football stuff comes straight to him. I think the most surprising thing about Belichick will be how long will it take for Carolina to start giving college credits for some of the things that he's going to require these football players to do, and will they convert courses that are more amenable to what the football players are doing and what they may likely be doing, the job placement aspect of it, the connections to different levels of the NFL, different areas of sports management. I think that's going to be the most interesting thing. I think that's the most interesting thing.
So several things. That one, that is to say that if that is true, that the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, will become the front runner and the pioneer for academic indulgement when it comes to college football and its professional value. Fair.
Yep.
And that somehow Bill Belichick from the sidelines, mm-hmm. swooping in like Jimmy Superfly Snooker from the top of the cage.
Yes.
Has managed to change in one leap, one felt strong leap, changed the landscape and the functional operation mode of collegiate football and the education that manages it.
Yep. I like it. And then here, I'll play it out a little bit further. The ACC conference itself, which is really in a decreasing position, and you look at UVA and their grad requirements for getting people in, except for Clemson and the past Florida State, they've had trouble kind of competing. Boston College has the same issues. This gives the ACC schools, if they adopt this template, if this is just my theory, that if they adopt this template, it gives them a bulwark against the other schools that have more money.
Well, but in order for this to happen, mm-hmm. credentialed football academia, there are some acts of Congress that are going to have to happen on a universal and a fully accepted basis.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
That places who play football are not going to accept at all.
I think that those schools will fall victim to all the rich alumni that they have created who have an interest in their teams being competitive. And I think that's where the crack in the I think there'll be a little crack in that.
Sitting down blocks away from the University of Nebraska Lincoln.
Yep.
Nah, dog.
Don't think it's going to happen.
Nah, dog.
Well, listen. I paid attention to what he said. He used the word education several times. And I just say this. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens.
Nothing would surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I intrigued by it? That's the Captain Chaos version.
Yeah.
Of Barry Thompson, yeah. DP, one-on-one. We'll be right back to hold this down.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Second segment, One-on-One with Barry Thompson. We want to do a couple of things, take care of a little business before, for folks out there listening that want to, you know, put a smile on somebody's face. We have a way to do that. It won't cost you anything. Or if you know somebody that's having a tough time that maybe, you know, deserves a smile, or somebody that you care about that you just want to put a smile on the face, and there's a way to do it. Sitting on the desk here is this beautiful chocolate raspberry rum cake from Beatrice Bakery. And the holiday season, we're partnering with Beatrice Bakery for some holiday cake giving. We appreciate you tuning into the ticket shows all holiday season. You can nominate people or organizations that you believe are in need of some delicious cake courtesy of Beatrice Bakery. And we've done this over the course of the years, and we're doing it throughout the holiday just in the act of giving something additional to put on the tree or put on the table or to share with family and friends. From Grandma's Fruitcake, Chocolate Rum, Strawberry Daiquiri, and much more, Beatrice Bakery and The Ticket want to give a world of young to the most deserving people in Lincoln. You can head to beatricebakery.com. You can view the selection. You can get some cakes for your holiday get-together. Send us a text, 402-464-5685, or an email to info@theticketfm.com. All cakes have to be picked up at The Ticket Studios, 1040 O Street, downtown Lincoln, within 2 days of winning. But if you want to put a smile on somebody's face, this is a wonderful, wonderful way to do that. From the text line, says, I wouldn't hire Belichick for a college program. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think that's the flex you think of it. I don't know what we're talking about football. There are no greater minds in football at any level greater than Bill Belichick when it comes to football and his ability to turn a late round quarterback into the GOAT and to do it together and then to do it with the systems and players in play in New England. Again, not necessarily the hub. New England wasn't the hub for football until they turned it into that. And they, being part of it, but he gets as much credit as anybody, he and Brady, and a group of players. You can't name five receivers who played for him for 7 years or more, right? Because there was an avalanche of receivers mm-hmm. who went through the system, and then he turned the Edelmans and Amendolas into household names and did those things. So what North Carolina has done and what college football now has to deal with is a force. It is a force. And we were talking about the academic and the educational side, and I think that will really play itself out over time. The quicker fix and the quicker impact will be in the transfer portal and the 105-player rosters that will exist, and then this coaching staff that will be put together for North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And, Barry, I think, for me, Jay and I were talking about it, and my question was, how many coaches, period, could walk into the living rooms of American Elite 11 quarterbacks and have more pull and leave the room with more quarterbacks than Bill Belichick?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Although things change quickly, there believe it or not, there's probably kids out there who are getting a star rating and they go, yeah, Brady, I heard of him, you know, but it changes quickly.
Their dads know the hoodie.
But you know how sometimes it goes between dads and sons. Yeah, their dads, it does carry a lot of weight with their parents sitting there to explain to their kids, hey, this guy and a mom or two who's a Brady fan would say, hey, no, this is where you're going.
Well, how many, Barry, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many coaches in America can walk in with all the Super Bowl rings?
Well, there you go. The right. rings. Well,
they
rings,
all identify with the Super Bowl rings.
Right. They would understand. They'd recognize what those are. Yeah. Yeah, it's singular. And it brings up a point. I kind of texted you earlier. You know, this to me will be a matter of who figures out how to get people to stay. And then the other thing we talk about simplicity is that there are coaches out there who don't need 50. Some of them only need one. Some only need three. And they can make it work because they'll build things around it to make those three successful. Or in his case, they built the whole thing around one to make it successful. So there are people out there who don't need much space and can look at it and know exactly what they need to make this thing successful. And it's something I've been talking to. You know, a lot of times coaches have these talks in the off season, and something that's been coming up for me a lot with the season I just had at WNL, and talking to some of my college, you know, some coaching buddies. I said, you know, there's a difference between scheme and everything else. And then there's a difference there. That's one thing, but knowing how to win a football game is a whole different thing. Like, how do you put it together? Not game by game, but structurally, how do you put things together in a way that you know that formula is going to lead to winning football games. And to me, when you talk about somebody like Belichick or you talk about Dion, like him or not, these are people who kind of pose a thing. I know how to go win. I know how to go do this. I know what I need to go win, right? I know this. It needs to look like this, or it needs to be built like this. It needs to fit like this. I need this type of player to make it go win. And those coaches, the coach at Indiana, yeah, he has a formula. He knows what he needs to win, right? He's done it multiple times, different places, different resources. Those coaches are going to spot a tremendous opportunity in this environment.
I think for me that there's a fascination that, again, of the if when Bill Belichick walks on the sideline of the of Dilfer's Elite 11 quarterback camp, mm-hmm. he doesn't need all 11 quarterbacks. He wants one, and he don't even need the best one. There's one that fits him,
right?
That he will be able to get.
Yes.
And then put with an already existing of 104 other dudes.
Right.
Right. And we also know that there's more value for any of those people who are going to choose to play for Belichick. There's going to be a full understanding in advance that there's a different level of expectation for the amount yes. of work being put in, for the right. type of representation you're going to be as a person. Right. We understood that along the way, right? You right. have a full cosign of, listen, it worked for Randy Moss. It worked for Tom Brady. It worked for Teddy Bruschi. It worked yep. for Rich Seymour, all of yep. those things. And then anybody that he's reaching out for, he knows that they fit what he wants to do from a football standpoint.
No, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, going back to the quarterback thing, the guy's been popping up in my mind a lot lately for whatever reason is Bo Nix. And mm-hmm. I think about Bo Nix, who was at Auburn. And for some reason, Bo Nix had to leave Auburn. He went to Oregon, and then he is an NFL rookie starter. And you think about the universe of schools that produce first-round quarterbacks, small. And you think about the universe of colleges that produce first-round rookie quarterbacks who are starters and have their team in the playoff hunt, even small list, right? And to think that a school, any school, had a guy who had that potential in their midst, and the people there, whatever it was, didn't recognize that this is the guy and this is the guy we should develop things around, kind of speaks a little bit to the fluidity of, or maybe the lack of understanding in some cases, of the evaluation process of what it takes to build a team to win. And I'm not picking on Auburn. I'm not, you know, one way or the other. But, you know, they haven't had a lot of great success like they did. You know, I think Cam was the last one, right? Cam was the last one, Malzahn. They had that little run. Maybe the guy after him, they made a little noise. But yeah, it speaks to that. And a guy like Belichick, you look at Deion. Deion's done this thing with three people, right? Mm-hmm. He went to two different places with three people, three special people, granted. But with three yep. people, the characters around them change each thing, but he's done it with three people. You know, that's somebody who knows, okay, this is what I need to go win. And, you know, and be fair to Nebraska, you know, Coach Rhule has a track record, right? Yeah. So, you know, he has a vision about what he thinks he needs to win. And this is the third year coming up. So, maybe this is, you know, you begin to see as the pieces come together, you know, it coming out. But you're in an environment now where it happened so quickly. You know, you had, was it Arizona State kind of turned things around on the dime, right? Indiana turned around on the dime. You know, you have SMU that was in the American, what was it, AAC? It was called the conference, AAC, the American Athletic or whatever.
Now it's the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And then they went and got to the ACC championship game.
Like, right. It's their conference. It's right. their conference
now. Like, where'd that come from? I mean, SMU has a proud history, but after that Pony Express thing, right, they were busted up and down for a while. And here all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork. So, it's out there. It's out there, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
But yeah, Belichick parking his rings on the table. I think the other thing with Belichick is he has that family of Patriots. And so it's not just him. You know, it's Gronk coming down to visit with a tight end. It's Teddy Bruschi coming to say hello to the linebacker. You know, it's Tom Brady saying hello to a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's that army of people that he doesn't have to say what he has to say. He's like, well, here's my resume. I know you don't know me, young man, but here are the rings and here's my resume here.
Well, there's a big part of that, that anybody whose house Coach Belichick walks in with you know, branch on his sleeve, who doesn't know
right
who they are,
yeah,
probably aren't his dudes anyway.
Yeah, could be. You're right. You're right.
You want to talk about the great weeding system of a guy that is a student of the game.
Right.
You can't. You are not going to be able to process football at the level I'm going to need for you to,
right,
if you don't understand who the guy sitting next to me on my couch is.
Yeah, if you don't know who the Godfather is. But I'm telling you, people, it passes quickly. You know, even in my own little circle, I've passed the part where I, talk about my accomplishments. What I do is I put all the quarterbacks out front, right? I just say, you know, you want to know about me? Here's the list. Go talk to them.
Well, you know, you pull a Cignetti, go Google me.
Yeah. And I said, there you go. Just I put that, you know, it's right on our website. Put it out there. There's a list. You find, you know, I'll do stuff with my bio. But that current thing with these kids is very important. He'll be able to pull that in. You know, it's going to be important. It's got to be tangible to him.
Yeah, it becomes elite in the space that no matter – and I think as college game evolves – and the business of it evolves, and you sent a tech talking about, well, pro teams buying into college teams.
Yeah.
Well, but that was the old way.
Yeah.
That was the old NFL was regional. The drafting was regional to the pro team.
Yep.
So if you were Kansas City, you had right of first refusal for Missouri and Nebraska because it made sense to them.
Yep.
Dallas would go through Texas A&M and Texas. That's why those players seemed to all fit.
Right.
But then they figured that the regionally you were restricting yourselves. Mm-hmm. But here's the part that was that's really happening, that there are investors, there are businesses who are buying into programs.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's where the business will take place, is that the businesses will go in and buy 51% of Nebraska's athletic department.
Yep.
Give them funding and get their own value from it.
Right.
Right. Because if you're pulling $121 million back to the bottom line,
right,
that if you're a funding agency, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yes,
those are the discussions that we're about to have.
Yeah, and the thing that makes it a win-win is that you can't write off the NIL money. You know, schools are basically nonprofits. You can't write off the NIL money. So the investors that come in and take that up, they kind of alleviate that part of it. And then, you know, the schools can keep their it's an interesting development that's going to take place.
Well, this is where folks like DP come in, and instead of it being donation, then these are folks who are making money based off of the student athletes actually doing something for the money.
There we go.
And that was part of the process, is that as people figure out how this works, my thought was do business.
Yeah.
Give them actual equity in what they're doing, time spent, and everything will work out just fine. But that's why we're here doing what we're doing. So, again, folks playing catch up, that sometimes things that the ticket was doing 5 years ago wasn't really a surprise. We'll throw it to break. We'll close out with Barry Thompson and ask him, what you cooking? We'll talk about that with Barry Thompson, one-on-one, the ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment of One-on-One. And the question becomes simple. Barry Thompson.
Talk to me.
What are you cooking?
Man, queso fundido. Queso fundido. So it's cheese. I'll spell it out because people can Google recipe. Fundido. queso fundido. If you make this, you'll slap somebody next time they bring you nachos and cheese to the table. All right. There's a lot of simple recipes. It basically involves chorizo. You kind of cook the chorizo off. You take half of the chorizo that you cook out. You put some cheese in there, usually a melty kind of cheese. You let it melt in the oven, then you pull it out and you top the rest with the remaining other half of the chorizo. And then you usually use a sturdy chip or a flour tortilla. You just reach in there and grab it. But we're going to take it up a little notch, DP. We got to do a little bit different, a little bit different. All right. So the classic cheese is called Oaxaca. There are tiendas in Lincoln, I know, but if you can't find it, use a block cheese like mozzarella, maybe a combination like pepper jack. You don't want the fresh mozzarella because it has too much moisture in it. You take those two blocks of cheese, you grate those down. You may add a little bit of cornstarch to it. It helps a little bit. Then you're going to prepare your chorizo. When you cook the chorizo, it's like cooking like bacon. If you like your bacon crispy, you kind of let it go until it's crispy. Just as it gets there, you take a little bit of poblano pepper. Down in the pepper family, there's green pepper, poblano, jalapeno, serrano. So poblanos, don't be scared of them. Put them in till they're a little bit al dente. Then you, as that gets there, optional, you can add some mushrooms to it, a little bit of garlic. And let's see, I think that's about it. We may add a little bit of butter because butter makes everything better. And that's you've got your topping all fixed. So you're going to take half of that mixture and put it to the side. The other half is in that pan. That's when your cheese goes in. And then you just keep stirring the cheese. You lower the heat, keep stirring the cheese until it melts and everything gets mixed in with it. And then when it's done, you have it fill out throughout the pan. You take the half of that mixture that you made. You sprinkle that on top. You get some queso fresco. I'm going to pause right here. Mm-hmm. And you get a little bit of cilantro. Okay. And you get your chip. And you get your flour tortilla, and you will have a blast watching any sport game this weekend. Queso fundido. YouTube it. Get on it. Don't be intimidated. You can thank me later.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Don't be Go scared. On and get it in. Greatly appreciated. From the text line, yes, we've got your recommendations and referrals, people that you want to make a smile. Let's do that. Harrison will take care of that. We've got the names and contact mm-hmm. information. Put those in. We will be giving these out over the course of the holidays. So all of the different shows throughout the course of the day. Barry Thompson, thank you, my friend. I will see you Sunday.
Yeah, see you Sunday.
Wizards, Celtics, let's go.
Win number four.
Let's go.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.